Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yahweh Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now Hallelujah. I be your host for the top part of Sabbath day by name, Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. Top part of Sabbath day. Got the memo in. All six vocations is ready to go. Remember, call for details. If you within 70 miles or any location, give us a call on the international line, 224-600-5579. And the young lion, he's gonna give you the update after I hear. He'll tell you all about this broadcast. He'll give you the update on YouTube. He'll give you the update on Facebook. He'll tell you the whole show a little bit later. So we're gonna bring our elder in. We're gonna bring him in, and probably be a little long with him, but we can kind of get these coats off and get ourselves prepared for top part of Saturday. This day the Almighty LMA. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tibbs, Israel, Yahweh be with you, Seed Royal.
And Yahweh bless you, Seed Israel, Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, Elder. Well, this is the day that all might have made top part of the Sabbath day. So ready to do our part and just say, Yahweh, so we just going to turn over you and take your time. You can't get out there all stretched out and get prepared for the top part of the Saturday. Remember, we know we ride everywhere, and the young lion came out there shortly. So, Elder Till, let's talk about the broadcast we're on right now, and you and the clock come out.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, Sir Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And like I always say, it is a great pleasure to be among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. And you know, that's a good thing, because if I said before, many times, there's a lot of people out there that want to guide you in a different direction. But when you're taught by the voices of the true Israelites, the word of Yahweh, you can recognize those things which are not righteous. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums for their righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. It comes to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, not the Book of the Mormon or any other book, but this book, the King James Version. Learning how to connect the books to health and foods you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. We do this because this is information you came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found that in the voices of the true Israelites. Tribal God Doc. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on regular days. And those regular days are Sunday and Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday, unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class, which is a day, Friday, about part of the Sabbath. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part of the Sabbath is 7. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m., and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website class. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after you click enter, just under that big iron, you will see the choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions. Any other device, you might see a menu, but after clicking this, you'll still see choices. You'll choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads that book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh and attend to the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahweh loves the cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and read once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. You'll find this is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahweh. Also for building the school, which is very well needed, as I can see on a daily basis. Our banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Yahweh. We even have a calendar. Check out our calendar out there, which will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program. It's featured us available during our live broadcast time. To get there, just enter three words, Yahweh Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahweh, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you right into a live online broadcast. We also have two email addresses the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions or questions of a biblical subject council or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with your one-on-one. The first is the live conference room, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six and minor camps of Dr. Osment, which is actually said earlier. Now, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I'll have to remind you, you'll hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, calling this number, you can order the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel and media. Just make sure we get the correct name and a correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here, email, phone, or text, before broadcast or afterwards. He's usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Maker, and answering many memos that most of us have seen. But even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use that international line, the 224-600-5579. If the question is legit, you will receive a call. Also, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can catch the entire show today at after 10:30 p.m. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click on it, for the voices of the truest light. Just choose the program that you are late logging into, any previous day that you would like to listen. Now during our normal broadcast, we are simultaneously transmitting on different programs. One being Facebook, Broadtalk, which you already know, YouTube, just enter D-O-T-T-Y. Try God Doc, and you'll be able to get there. On Paltalk, you can get there by downloading the Paltalk app on your phone, tablet, or computer. You'll find us listed under Ethnic Group, African American. Look for Israelites, Try God Doc. This will be on Paltalk. You'll find that room will hold 50 or more listening participants. This is where Yahuwah's Word will be also working for your Bible education. I'm there to answer those. On the table topics we discuss during the program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs of Israel, along with the Seer of Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, you'll find we'll be taking no comments off topic, with any more than two text questions answered at a time. And at broadcast ends before teaching time, teaching will continue on Thursday. I'll probably be with you all. But one important note to remember, when we are given those scriptures to speak by this ear, be quick to hear and slow to speak, for the words of Yahuwah are always slow smooth. Remember that we have those hundreds of thousands of listeners that hear the righteous words of Yahuwah, and not that of confusion, as we have a reminder of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 33 says, for Yahuwah is not pure confusion, but at peace and in all churches the covenants of the saints. Because when we do this, we like to keep those scriptures in mind. But when you're trying to win a bump your gums contest, you will miss all of Yahuwah's words said unto you. And the reason, we are rehearsing the righteous act to learn the words of Yahuwah. And we also have a reminder of that in St. John, chapter 14, verse 26. 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the righteous Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And that's why you often hear us say the scripture which is mentioned in the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8. 8 says, answer not, but will have heard the calls, neither can the but men in the midst of their talk. But you'll find when you're listening to the words of God and you have interference, you will not get a righteous understanding. Well, we have to say today is another day for the word of Yahuwah, and nothing has changed except the number of people that come to listen to Yahuwah's word, those that commend it, add unto it, only following those casting the same words we listen to behind their back. wanting to hear their little favorite verses they read in the Bible, even taking those verses meaning another way. And don't forget the noisemakers, the complainers, the deceptive listeners. You'll see them flipping the pages in the Bible to look like they're paying attention, but are completely lost when they're called to speak. They're clearly forgotten. We're only one man and one woman. Time is not in our favor. But don't worry, the best is yet to come. If you'll find we can only do 100% of what one man or one woman that was Yahweh created to do in this life. And that's if at all possible. But you'll find if anyone ever says they've done more, they just lied. Now they're doing the work of the mother, the passion of God's creation. Now that's impossible. And the impossible was told us in Matthew 19, verse 26, by Yahweh the Son. Let's see what he said in verse 26. 26 says, "But Yahweh the Son beheld them, and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but Yahweh all things are possible." So, we can find out what our continual possibilities will be in the word of Yahweh. As I said before, in the King James Bible, we will turn our program back over to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahweh.
best way I can put it. And I've had a couple of messages off on the international line came in, so I just want to play it, and then that kind of set the tone. We the top part of Saturday might be gone. I'm going to play a couple of these messages that I got off the ounce machine, and let's see what it says.
Particularly those in the Jewish state, have the right to quiet enjoyment in their community and the right to practice their faith.
In recent weeks, there's been an uptick in anti-Semitism. This bill will make these hate speech offenses a third-degree felony. Distributing flyers, harassing people based on their religion, defacing religious property, projecting hateful images, and disturbing religious services. There have been dozens of incidents of anti-Semitism here in Florida just this year. In the last 26 days, six incidents have been reported. Now, lawmakers say enough is enough.
But then we also have to take into account the fact that not every incident gets reported. So you know that there are countless more incidents that are occurring that don't always get reported up to the authorities.
Lawmakers want better accountability against those committing hate crimes.
Jews are scared today in Florida.
And here in Tampa, the need for change is felt.
But the Holocaust didn't start with the concentration camps and the gas chambers. The Holocaust started with hate speech. It started with the stigmatizing and vilifying and delegitimizing the Jews and other ethnic groups.
For this bill to become law, it needs the approval of the House, the Senate, and the governor. In Tampa, Malik Rankin, 10 Tampa Bay.
Tomorrow, by the way, I can do is bust up the group. We try to sow discord among the organizations, show that the people who lead these organizations are hypocrites, and so on, to give people a chance to look at what they've gotten involved in and maybe reconsider it. And you try to do is bust up the group. We try to sow discord among the organizations, show that the people who lead these organizations are hypocrites, and so on, to give people a chance to look at what they've gotten involved in and maybe reconsider it. And you've seen that work? It absolutely works. The number one thing I would say that drives people out of hatred is seeing their leadership corrupt. Try to do is bust up the groups. We try to sow discord among the organizations, show that the people who lead these organizations are hypocrites, and so on, to give people a chance to look at what they've gotten involved in and maybe reconsider it. And you've seen that work? It absolutely works. The number one thing I would say that drives people out of hatred is seeing their leadership corrupt.
The Muslims do their thing.
Mm-hmm. So, they say what they do. They do some things to you to make you, and that would happen to Marcus Garvey. J. Edgar Hoover, he got in there and started, you know, playing both ends to the middle and had them all off balance. J. Edgar Hoover, that's what he did in Marcus Garvey's days. So he's sowing that discord. And so we understand that that's what's going on. But what we're going to do, we're going to take a look in this Bible, see, and that's why in the last two, three lessons, we were able to lay the foundation. So if you able to catch the last two, three lessons, we went over some things, but we're going to go over some more things as the Spirit of Yahweh give us others. Let's see what all going to be on stage for tonight's episode. Okay. Let's see if Mother Eve will be on stage for the night episode part, the top part of the Saturday. You can see if Mother E gonna holler in that microphone. Top part of the Saturday. So, Mother E, one of the most out of count one. And like I said, again, we knew these days were coming, and guess what? Let's see how we conduct ourselves in it. So, Mother E, one of the most out of cap, one top five, Saturday. Hey, Mother E, y'all five people there, see you, Roy.
Y'all have next to see Israel. Please, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy.
All right. Hallelujah,
Roy.
That's a great thing to see,
Roy.
Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy. Hallelujah, Roy We'll plant them in your organization, and we have them to sow discord among you to keep you all balanced. That's how they say we practice that. We'll send them in and while they're sowing discord, we have them break up the organization. Okay. Let's see what that works in the 6 and 9 chapter of the book, two Israelites. One thing about it, we don't know what you own through the word. We gonna know exactly what you own through the word of Yahweh. Because we know if you got a father keeping up, that must mean that you got something on your mind. Now, mother D of Israel, we're gonna find out if mother D of Israel, she come on today for the top part of Saturday. Hey, mother D of Israel, no one of Moses out of camp one. Yahweh beat you that seed earlier. Hey, Mother D of Israel, we don't know why you coming on stage for the top part of the Sabbath day, Mother D of Israel. Yahweh be with you, L.C. Roy. I can't hear nothing, WCC. I'm not hearing Mother D of Israel. And we know Mother D is already at death in there waiting to hear something real good. She's going to respond a little bit later. But that's a great thing. So, and come on. So what are we going to do? The top part of Saturday. So we clearly live. So what we live at, me and that young man?
We live everywhere. We live at, live on Blog Talk. We live on Facebook. We live on Power Talk. And we now live on YouTube. Let's put a live stream up on the YouTube. We probably go back and do a little editing, but YouTube and get an audio part of it. And most definitely can. And later on, we'll just add something to it.
Okay. Hallelujah, boy. Okay, well. All right, well, we're going to see what Luke says. Chapter 12. I didn't respond. I did respond out of Moses. Just let me check again. Mother D of Israel. Hey, Mother D of Israel, y'all probably get there, see
you right. I'm not
saying
that.
I'm sure I can do it. But I do. You hear me?
We don't send this word. Why should I
do it? Okay, well. Okay. So, trying to spread more books out a little bit, Elder. Most likely, we're gonna have to put in, like I said, double duty tonight. Cause we still waiting on the okay from Sister B as Judah Israel. She's missing here. I'm gonna get in and holler on that microphone, but let me get this Yahweh down right. Cause I've been messing around with them pagan churches all my life. So let me get this Yahweh down right. So when I hit that. Hit that microphone hard, and that's the bottom line. Hit that microphone hard.
That's right.
And that's what it's all about, hitting that microphone hard.
Hallelujah,
boy. Hallelujah, boy. So, that's what it's all about. So, y'all online, let's take a look at what we can get out of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What's that say? So, we can see if we get something going on the top part of the Saturday.
Chapter 12, verse number 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say."
And you got to believe that. See, once you invite the righteous spirit in, and that's the game changer right there. When you invite the righteous spirit in to your lesson, that's the game changer. It's the same of Almighty God. Let the right spirit dictate the lesson. And that's a great thing. And that's what we're going to do. Chapter 5 of Saturday, we just all over the place right now. But we're going to see if we get something going on. So we want y'all to dictate the lesson on the Chapter 5 of Saturday. Remember, all six locations, the gate is open, the door is open for all six locations. And, but I made myself
after no one comes, you can't find it. So we just call open up in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1, and we'll look at 10 through 16. Matter of fact, now, Ryan, you still getting things prepared with him? So, in Jeremiah chapter 10 there, y'all line, look at verse 1, and we'll skip down to verse 10 through 16. And Mother E, tell me 22 down to verse 25. Wait a minute. Jeremiah 10, chapter 1, 10 through 16 there, y'all line. Let's open up with that. See what we can get going on.
All right, we're going over there to the book of Jeremiah the Seer, chapter 10, verse 1, and 10 down to verse 16. Is that what we want?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Jeremiah the Seer, chapter 10, verse 1, read. Hear you the word which the Yahweh speaketh unto you, O family of Israel.
So this word, so when Jeremiah writes, who was Jeremiah writing to?
Family of Israel.
See, and that's one of the greatest mysteries in teaching. Jeremiah is getting ready to talk to the family of Israel. And at the time when Jeremiah talked, he's talking to Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. They're the ones in the southern part of the northern kingdom. Is majority of them have left, so everybody else that was scattered, they were up on the banner of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. So skip down to verse 10 through 16 and see what we're working with.
Verse 10 down to verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10 reads, but the Yahweh is the true Yahweh.
Nah.
He is the living Yahweh and an everlasting king. And his wrath, the earth shall tremble.
So he let you know that we have to pay more attention to the Yahweh of Israel, because he is the true Yahweh. See, when you follow around this thing, and that's what Jeremiah was to go and tell them, to let them know whatever they got going on in Egypt and in Babylon, you know, where all religion came from, the Babylonian Empire to the Egyptians and then the sons of Esau, Roman Catholic Church, they stole everything they can from Egypt, even the matriarch, all that stuff come out of Egypt. They stole all they didn't get their hands on and put their name on it like they were some great ones. But no, that ain't happened. Everything you got come up out of Egypt, and everything Egypt got come out of the Babylonian system.
Mm-hmm.
So be clear about that. So you're not going to be able to hold that title, because we're going to investigate that. We know where you come from, just like you got them obelisks right in the middle of the Vatican City and the Washington, D.C. That means you got the obelisks. That means you got the teaching of it coming out of the Babylonian system.
Hallelujah.
So all y'all do the Saturnarians, and y'all worship Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you twist your mouth up on Saturn, you come up with faith.
Hallelujah.
Or you just twist your mouth up a little bit. So we know clearly what y'all are doing, and the voice of those two is like going to lay it out there according to scripture and back it up through the pages of the book. So now what is said in 10 through 16 now? Come on.
Okay, picking it back up at verse number 10 in the middle of 10. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10, middle of 10 reads, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Verse 11, thus shall you say unto them, the Yahweh that have not made the heaven and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens.
You hear me? So you see, and that's why we got to bring out a lot of information based upon letting you know that the Yahweh of the nation, all of them that did not make the heaven and earth, they going to perish. So whatever you're in, if you're not a part of the Yahweh of Israel, the four-letter man, then we can tell you off the top, you're going to perish. if you're not calling on the Yahuwah of the Bible, which is the Yahuwah of Israel, sooner or later, you will perish. And that will be hearing out of the mouth of Jeremiah. That was, hey, Mother E, let's talk about Jeremiah for a minute, because that's some strong talk he just said. So, Mother, we know you're holding the verse, but back up to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, 5, and 9, and 10 for me, just to make sure we on point. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, 4, 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Then skip down to verse 9 and 10. Let's see when Jeremiah is writing all this good talk. Let's find out who is in front of him, on the side of him, and behind him when he said, well, the young lion just got to read. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, 5, then skip down to verse 9 and 10. What does it say, Mother?
Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and verse 5, verse 9 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Yahweh come unto me, saying, verse 5, before I found thee in the belly, I know thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a seer unto the nation. Verse 9. Then Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my word in thy mouth. Verse 10, see, I have this day set thee kingdom to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to go down, to build and to plant.
Mm-hmm. Verse 9 and 10, that most. So he said that Jeremiah, you was raised from the womb to chat all that bad understanding down. Now once you chat down Jeremiah's fear, now you got to build it back up. So sometimes, and if you want to know what to do today, look back to yesterday. See, Jeremiah didn't have to go through the fact of the children of Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. They knew that they were sick. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and Simeon. We, at this time, we don't have a clue who we are. So the responsibility is so great on us today, but we know the job's going to be done because it's already written. Mr. Bill, it's already written in the book called Isaiah 49, make it 46, verse 9 and 10. A.L., something's already written, A.L., Mr. Bill. Israel, something that we can read in the book of Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Hey, can you up those see out in 46, verse 9 and 10 of Isaiah? Hey, look at the tale of Israel. Come on.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, I think you said Isaiah 46, verse 9 and verse number 10. Okay, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, looking at verses 9 and verse number 10. 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am Yahweh, and there is none else. I am Yahweh, and there is none like me. 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Mm-hmm. So we found out, the Almighty has called the end of what we going through from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So he already knows. That's why he waits on certain things to happen, because it's already written. And the way it's written, it's not going to happen. So the end from the beginning have already been called. The end from the beginning. He already knows who's going to get caught up. And he already knows who's going to fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. He already knows who's going to give footprints. He's clear about all that. And he already knows. And remember later, he played something earlier that the big dignitary saying what we specialize in doing is sowing discord. We attract people in their ministry, and they'll smite with the tongue, and they'll do all type of things to throw you off track. So that's already. But guess what? That's written in the Bible there, Elder. That's written in the Bible. And Jeremiah, remember, Jeremiah was raised from the womb, so Jeremiah already was planted. He planted that in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19. Hey, Elder. What do Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19 say? And young man, who was the guy? Can you give me 14, verse 1, and we'll read to get our point. So in Jeremiah chapter 11 there, Elder, what can we read in verse 19? Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19. Hey, Elder, what that say?
Jeremiah chapter 11, verse number 19 reads, "But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that is his name may be no more remembered."
Read that again, Elder. That's been talked to you. Read that again. That's been talked to you just said. You said, now, Elder, now you just dropped a bombshell down here, but you got to get in that microphone and let the world hear what you just got to read. Now, remember, Jeremiah was raised from the womb. Now, he was raised from the womb to tear down and build up from the mouth of the Almighty Yahweh. Now, in that Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19, remember, Jeremiah is speaking from the mouth of the Almighty. That's what he's speaking from there, Elder. So, but you have to bring that out for the whole world to hear what Jeremiah was told to write in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 19. What does it say again, Elder?
19 reads, "But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree of the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that is his name may be no more remembered."
Ain't that something? You mean Jeremiah is writing about they have taken devices, they have an account for me. Yeah, Elder. And they said, "I know not that they have devices against me." You know, see, no, Jeremiah did not know that, but guess what? A young lion in 119, verse 99 and 100 said what? What it said, but guess what? Guess the advantage that we have today. See, Jeremiah said he didn't know that the one that was skinning and grinning in his midst was trying to overthrow him. He didn't know. Any Smith was trying to deliver him up as a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't know that. But guess what? Psalms chapter 119, verse 99 and 100. What does it say, young man?
Book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 99 and 100. Mm-hmm. Verse 99 reads, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation.
Oh, so Jeremiah said he got more understanding than all his teachers. I mean, David said that, you know why? Because he had everybody's right at their highest, and when they came down to the rules, what caused it? They problem. See, now we can read it now. This when Jeremiah was at his best, and Jeremiah got around some of them, those in the ministry, and they were plotting against Jeremiah. Oh, okay. See, that's the advantage that we have today by being able to look directly in this book and see all them, knowing that you don't get no past me. Now, read first or next verse.
Book of Psalms 119:100. I understand more than the ancients.
Yes.
Because I keep your precepts.
You see the difference? See, Jeremiah wasn't doing no precepts because Jeremiah was taking things and running with it as he was given to him. But see, we able now to sit down and through the precepts get the understanding on what Jeremiah is saying. So now, Nael, Mr. Taylor, Israel, go to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 20. That's the whole thing out in Jeremiah 18, verse 20.
In the book of Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 20. Remember, there was plot against Jeremiah. And we read a message saying, you know what we do when the organization starts getting where they are throwing it outside, we'll plant people in there and have them throw discord. That'll be a murmur, complainer, and backbiter. And get them off of what they're supposed to be on, and all of a sudden, then they'll disappear. We'll put a rumor out on them. We'll say, guess what he do? He stood cars. He be taking cars away. He be doing all this stuff. And what they do, you doing on the Sabbath day? Hey, that's on the Sabbath day. That's when all that stealing going on, stealing, hijacking, all kinds of things going on. But, you know, we understand that they're going to do this according to what the elder get ready to read in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 20. Hey, elder, bring that out. Let's see what that says. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 20.
In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, reading verse number 20, says, shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I need a little bit more out there, y'all. You sure that was Jeremiah 18, verse 20? Let me take a peep at that. I need a little bit more out of that. Let me peep at that. I need a little bit more out of that. Because I'm stuck right now. Take it, look at Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Yeah, make it 18:18. That was excellent. But I left off a verse. 18:18. What do 18:18 say? Read that, 18:18.
Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18 says, then they said, come, and let us devise devices against them, Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priests or counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet seers. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words.
Ain't that something? Did you hear him say? Did you hear him say? You hear him say, oh, he said, look here, let's see if we smite Jeremiah with the mouth. Let's have him where he thinks he's a lame duck somewhere. Let's plant devices around him, and let's smite him with the mouth. Let's do a lot of backbiting and murmuring. So, that's what he said. Read that again, El. Let's read that again. So when you start seeing things like that pop up, you know, like the Amsterdam Messer said, what we do, we sow discord. We know how to break up organizations that's thrown on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to break them up. We all got to throw a little disco in there. So come on back again there with that 18:18 again. Come on.
Verse number 18 says, then they said, come, let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priests or counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet seers. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words.
Yeah. Well, let's smite him and let's not get heed to this. Let's pay him no never mind. Well, you know, that's going on today. You don't pay the field no never mind. So I guess that's what I'm going to do right there. So we don't, you don't be paying the field no never mind. Back up, give me verse 17, Al. I think we're going to stumble up on something here. I'll take a look at verse 17. What does it say in verse 17?
17 says, I will scatter them with an east wind before the enemy, and I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity.
So you see what Yahweh say? Yeah, they're gonna do all that what they're gonna do. But Yahweh just said, I'm gonna scatter them. Now, what do that mean, a mother? Let's see what that means in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. What that mean? He said, yeah, they gonna backbite, murmur, and complain. They always going to have something to be in your window. They going to do so. But what did Yahweh say, mother, in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 30? Matthew 12, verse 30. What does it say?
The book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30 reads, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Uh-huh. So there it is right there. So the one that perpetrating on holding the rope, it will be revealed, because everything is sealed. It will be revealed. So one thing about it, and see, the advantage that we have today, we're able to go look into this book and see, oh, okay, this look like this right here. This look like that. So now, that's a good thing. All right, so we clear that these days is coming. It's just how you deal with them and how you deal with anything you deal with according to the Bible. That's how you deal with everything because the young line, let's come on back to that. Let's come on back again and get some more out of that. No, give me come back to that Jeremiah again. What was that, 10 through 16?
Yeah, we stopped off at 11.
We stopped off at 11? Okay, let's get a little bit more of that Jeremiah in there. Let's see what else. See, so we find out right now, Jeremiah, the ones, when he came to the council board, the elders, he said he was already plotting, skinning and gritting, trying to deliver him up. See? But Yahweh didn't show him that. You know, Yahweh raised from the womb. And we have to look into his book and see exactly what we have today and what to bring out today to you. Back in Jeremiah chapter, what we have again?
Jeremiah chapter 10, picking up at verse number 12.
Okay, go ahead.
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse number 12, read. He had made the earth by his power. He had established the world by his wisdom and has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Verse 13. When he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of water in the heavens. And he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the gravest image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Verse 15, There are vanity. They are vanity in the work of error. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. 16. The portion of Israel is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Yahweh of hosts is his name.
Mm-hmm. So the rod of Yahweh's inheritance is Israel, the rod. So with that understanding now, we just gonna switch off and do some. The rod of his inheritance is who again?
Israel.
Israel, right? Mm-hmm. Good. Now let's precept that. Let's precept that. We know you're holding something up, but now we want to precept that. Now, with that understanding, let's precept that on what we just got through hearing in the fourth chapter of Exodus. And let's see what it says here. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Now, remember he said, Israel is the rod of his inheritance. That's what we just got to read. Now, in fact, I got to get a sack of witness on that. And Jeremiah, because we're going somewhere, and like I said, again, we teach according to how the Almighty give it to us. In Jeremiah chapter, I want to hear that again, because when we get what we want to get to, then you will know something you need to know. We're going to Jeremiah, Mother E. And 51. In Jeremiah 51, can you help those see it out? It's something that I want to read in Jeremiah 51, the change to verse number 19. Jeremiah 51, 19. Listen to this, because I need a precept, but when I get there, I want to find out who gets suspicious on this and say, nah, nah, nah. Jeremiah 51:19, Mother Eve, bring it out, come on.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, verse 19. The seal of Jacob, Israel, is not like him.
Hold on. The portion of Jacob, which is Israel. Jeremiah 51, verse 19, the portion of Israel.
Portion of Israel is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Yahweh of hosts is his name.
Yeah, so Yahweh of hosts is his name, huh? Hey, Mark. How many letters is that?
Four letters. YHWH.
So again, we find out the portion of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, is not like them. See, you can't be like them. They got to be like you. For he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Is that what we read, Michael?
Right.
And Yahweh of hosts is his name. So his name is the four letters. So you have to know this man's name, and he is the Yahweh of Israel. So in Israel is his portion. Now, the Bible always got a double meaning. It got what's called a carnal understanding and a spiritual understanding. Now we're going to the fourth chapter, and I'm going to find out what anybody gets suspicious on this. Let's see what it says in 4 verse 1 there, young Ryan. We're going to Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. Now let's find out something.
We're going to read the book of Exodus, chapter 4. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1.
Verse number 1.
All right.
Yeah, let's see what it says in 4 verse 1.
Right.
We're going to 4 verse 1 and see what it says.
The book of Exodus, chapter 4, picking up at verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 1 reads,
right.
And Moses answered and said, behold, they would not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they would say that Yahweh have not appeared unto you.
So Yahweh let Moses bump his gongs a little bit. So the conversation going on. Now let's see what happened next. Verse 2.
Verse 2. And the Yahweh said unto him.
Yeah, and then Yahweh let him bump his gongs and said something to him. What did he say?
What is that in your hand?
He said, what is that in your hand?
He said, a rod.
He said what?
A rod.
He said a rod is in his hand. So what is that in his hand spiritually there? What's in his hand spiritually? Who will answer that question? Spiritually, what's in Moses' hand?
The rod of Yahweh's inheritance is Israel.
Oh, so what he's saying spiritually, Moses. Listen, what's in your hand, Moses, is the 12 tribes of Israel. Spiritually speaking, that rod is the 12 tribes of Israel in his hand. And let's see what Moses did that. He said, what's that in your hand, Moses? He said, a rod. Yeah, currently it is a rod. But it's representing what again, y'all mind?
The 12 tribes of Israel.
And what did Moses do when he had the rod in his hand and Yahweh asked him questions? What is in your hand? What about the next read?
Verse 3.
Right.
The book of Exodus chapter 4, verse 3 read.
Right.
And he said, cast it on the ground.
He said, cast the 12 tribes of Israel on the ground.
And he cast it on the ground.
Yes.
And it became a serpent.
And the 12 tribes of Israel became a snake.
And Moses fled from before.
What did Moses do?
He fled from
and
before.
And Moses ran from his responsibility until he got snakes all around him in the 12 tribes of Israel. But you said they going to tell you about what? They might not believe you. Well, okay, Moses. But do that mean you break out running, Moses? Huh? See, that's the point we're making. Now hold that point. Hey, yo, let's back up to Exodus chapter 4. Hey, yo, Mr. Till, we're going to Exodus chapter 4. We're going forward to 4, and we're going to pick up verse number 10. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Let's see one thing about it. I remember brother back in the day, he said, he said, I said, brother, matter of fact, one elder told him, brother, time you teach. He said, yeah, he tried to teach, but he found out that by him teaching, that'll make him unpopular with the women. So now, he didn't want to teach no more because that was rubbing the women wrong. Because when you start reading his Bible, you will find out who in your corner and who not. So he told old Sears, said, look here, I don't want to be a teacher no more. I said, you've been ordained to teach, brother. So now, you can't back with this thing. You know, you can't do like Moses did. Through the 12 tribes of Israel down and broke out running. You can't do that. And he did it anyway. Then all of a sudden, from that day to this day, he has never been the same. See, when you got a responsibility on, you can't run from this thing. You got to run to it. It's going to be days that's not going to be sunny. It's going to be days that's going to be rainy and snowing and hell snowing. You got to deal with that too. That's the spiritual side of this thing. So now, we're going to Exodus chapter 4 and look at verse 10. Let's read a little bit. See, here's Moses talking his talk to the YHWH man. Let's hear some of this conversation going on there, Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. Let's hear some of this conversation that we all can spiritually, drink some of this spiritual understanding. Oh, verse 10, come on.
Okay, Exodus chapter 4, I believe we said verse number 10. 10 says, "And Moses said unto the Yahuwah, O my Yahuwah, I am eloquent, neither therefore
I am not eloquent." He says, "I am not." He says, "I got a problem with my tongue speaking to the children of Israel. Not that I'm not a proper speaker over there in Egypt, but mess around these children of Israel." He said, "I'm not eloquent. Otherwise, my tongue ain't right. I'm not good at quoting the English man at the top. I'm gonna be stumbling and bumbling around with a lot of words down the phone." He said, "Yahuwah, I'm not eloquent.
Neither henceforth, nor since thou hast spoken
to my servant. Neither heretofore.
Thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue."
And of a slow tongue. He said, look here, so you see what Moses trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
See, Moses trying to get away from his responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
See, Moses was ready from the womb to do his thing.
Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes what we do, we'll let our feelings get in the way, and we'll let our reasons mess us up.
Mm-hmm.
See, once you know who you are, you were chosen for these days.
Hallelujah.
To be about this man's word.
That's right.
And anytime you drag your feet back away from the word of Yahweh, and you know, and you wonder why things happen, maybe I put more juice to it, you know, huh? Yeah. So when you find out that you got a calling on you, so when you got a calling on you, you can't all of a sudden when you get something that's wrong, your feelings is not right, you all of a sudden just take your ball and go down the road. Because Yahweh, he's going to correct on you. That's the point we make. See, he was giving Moses an illustration that rod in his hand was representing the children of Israel, 12 tribes. And when you cast, when Yahweh cast them down, and then you broke out running, you see, you can't run from this. You got to run to this. See, everybody want to hang out and peek behind the curtain and watch this thing on board. You got to get in this thing, man. Matter of fact, let's pull a rabbit out of that. Hey, Mother, what can we read out of Ecclesiastes 12, verse 3? In a regular book, 12, verse 3. See, in 12, verse 3, See, there's one thing about it. When you drop Luke 12:12 down, you don't know where you're going. And one thing I like about the young lion, you put the title on the lesson on the top part of the Sabbath day. Because we don't know where we're going, but he burned a lot of midnight oil. And what he'll do, he'll put the title on it like he got on the other broadcast, I am that I am. And that was the great thing. See, he's listening real good, and he'll find out what the name of this top part of the Sabbath day when he put it on Facebook and YouTube. So now, so Mother, 12 verse 3 of Ecclesiastes. Can you throw see out in 12 verse 3? What is that in 12 verse 3?
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 3. In the day when the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong man shall bow themselves, and the strong man shall bow themselves, and the ground will cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the window be darkened.
You see that? You see the ones that, you know, land back, dragging their feet. Instead of getting in where they've been in at, they went back trying to peep and see how it's going to come out. You see, look at it.
He said, I'm gonna take the mighty man down through the word of Yahweh. But I'm gonna take you down also for dragging your feet. Cause when this thing, when the children of Israel was at their best, they had a sound. And that sound was the Sabbath day. They knew that they gotta stop whatever they were doing and bump some shoulders. They knew that. But today we're paying no never mind. And you pay those sins, no never mind. But he let you know, we're showing you spiritually that once you know who you are, and you know your nationality, and then you know your culture. See, nationality of who you are and your culture, what is the culture? See, you got a lot of brothers talking about what is your race. Ain't about no race. A race means somebody running to something or running from somebody. No, a race means a race. Or running, some running, run, jump, and skip. No, no. Nationality and culture. We try to tell you who you really are, your nationality, and the culture that you once were, that when Yahweh was happy with you. You don't know your nationality, and you don't know your culture. And we try to bring back to you nationality and culture. That when you call yourself by any other name, we're going to break down the research by digressing and bring it up to date, because everything we're saying, young line is Matthew 7, 29, and skip up to 28. See, what we try to tell you, that once you know your nationality, then you have to know the culture of the nationality. And by you not knowing either or, mm-hmm. you don't know your nationality, mm-hmm. and you don't know the culture that comes with the nationality.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So that's why we must come on the scene now mm-hmm. on all these networks. The breakdown ain't about no race. A race means you're running somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somebody chasing you off. Ain't nobody running to you and you ain't running to them. That was race means. Nationality and culture, we have to bring back to you, O 12 tribes of Israel. And that's what we're going to be on, nationality and culture. Matter of fact, that might be a pretty good title. Write that down there, young man. Nationality and culture, top part of the Sabbath day. All right, so now what we read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, let's give up to verse 28. Listen good.
All right. We're going over there to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to read verse 29, then we're going to jump up to verse 28.
Listen good.
The book of Matthew, chapter 7, 29, read. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe.
Yes.
Verse 28. And it came to pass when Yahweh the Son had ended these things,
right.
the people were astonished at his teaching.
That's what's going on right now. They astonished at the 600 council voices of the Jewish right as they teach him. They astonished at it. How is they coming up with this much information? We got to put a Jeremiah 18:18 on there. Hey, listen, we got to put a Jeremiah 18, verse 18. What does it say there? What does Jeremiah 18:18 say? Because they astonished at the teaching out of the 600 council. So they said, we got to do and put on them a Jeremiah 18:18. What does it say there? Where's the over there? 18, verse 18. Pick it up, young man.
All right.
Jeremiah 18, verse 18.
Going over there to the book of Jeremiah. Let's see. We're going to pick it up at chapter 18. We want verse number 18.
Listen good.
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 18, verse 18, read.
What it read?
Then said they.
What they say?
Come.
What?
And let us devise devices against Jeremiah the seer.
You see what they say? Come on. Let us devise devices against Jeremiah the seer.
For the law shall not perish from the priest.
Yeah.
Nor counsel from the wise.
You see, the one that ordained the teachers, they still teach them. But let's put some on Jeremiah. See, Jeremiah, J,
job was a little higher than the elders.
Right.
He the one brought the message to the elders.
Yeah.
So now they got something going on at the elder board over there, and Jeremiah put the paint on it through Yahweh. Go ahead.
Nor the word from the seer.
Yes.
Come and let us smite him.
What kind of way?
With the tongue.
With the tongue.
And let us not give heed to any of his words.
You see that? Let's play the field, no level mind. You see this? So they already took counsel to act like the seer ain't saying nothing. We give him no level mind. And that was going on today?
Yeah,
that's going on today. But one thing about it, we read it. I faith, but we read exactly that you can't run from this right here. You gotta figure out a way to run to this, I mean, in a hurry. Matter of fact, you can preach up on that. Hey, Marie, give me a preach up on that in Acts chapter 8, verse number 29 and 30. Hey, Marie, Acts chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. Let's talk about it.
Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30.
Yeah, what do you read?
Okay. Acts, chapter 8, verse 29. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Verse 30. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah.
That's good enough right there. That's good enough right there. So the Spirit told Philip to go near to the chariot and mother. Yeah. What did he do in verse 30 when the Spirit told Philip, go near and join yourself with the chariot? What did Philip do that we can read in verse 30? What did he do?
And Philip ran thither to him.
And he ran. That's how you take care of Yahweh's business. You got to have an urgency about Yahweh's business. You can't just talk this. You got to live this. You can't just talk this right here. You got to live it. So when Jeremiah went from the Memphis Spirit to Jeremiah, that committee board over there in Judah, they ain't flying right over there. Mm-hmm. You got to go over there and tell them to straighten up. Do Yahweh going to scatter you in the wind? Mm-hmm. So then they said, well, we going to put the mouth on Jeremiah. We going to smite it with the tongue. See that? Yeah, and when you think like that, look what's written in 2 Chronicles, young line, 36, verse 12. Let me show you what the Bible says behind that. See, sooner or later, you will recognize the sign of time. And when we come on this network, we don't bring up what we think and what we feel. We play the tape from the house machine showing that they stand into end time of organization start getting beside themselves and start messing us up, we put the mouth on them. We sowed discord. We read that. That's how we wrote. But one thing about it, we got the heads up on what you own, and we know you're going to sow discord.
Yeah.
And but one thing about it, the word of Yahweh don't stand. So what it says, we can read Psalm Micaiah in 36, verse 12. Listen to this.
Book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, verse number 12.
What it reads?
Verse 12 reads.
What?
And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh.
See, when you play the fear of no level mind, guess what? In the sight of Yahweh, what is that?
Evil.
What it reads?
His Yahweh. And humble not himself before the fear. Before Jeremiah the seer, speaking from the mouth of Yahweh.
See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding. When we come on this network 6 nights a week,
travel nights a week, whatever, 6 nights a week. All we know that we can put our thing on is Luke 12, 12. A lot of times they say, well, what's the title of the lesson? Well, you know we're doing a series about unlocking the biblical mysteries of Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints, right? But a lot of times you have to catch something on the way of catching something, like we call the I am that I am, because a lot of them say, well, nobody knows his name. And we have to digress and say, yeah, they know his name. It's just the ones that they don't know his name. Mm-hmm. See, but we're going to bring out, see, when you open that door to bring out they don't know his name, nobody knows his name, but now you clear they did know his name. Mm-hmm. But that conversation was for the future. Days of now.
Hallelujah.
Now we don't know his name.
Right.
And we thank somebody else, and we trying to bring back to you to enlighten yourself. It's about nationality and culture. See, every nationality had a culture, but you don't know your nationality and you don't know your culture. See, because you up on a battle that is not right for Yahweh to respond to you that we're going to bring out. But we're going to come back again to now be clear that was spiritually what Yahweh was showing Moses. He was showing Moses, then he also was showing Moses what Moses was going to do once the heat gets turned up on him, and we're going to read that too. Now come back, young line, to the fourth chapter. See, and we watch the best of them, and the mothers watch the best of them too. We'll watch you and see when the heat gets turned up on you. We'll watch and see what to do when the heat gets, or what you better stand correction. We'll watch you when we check you out and see how you respond. And this is where Yahweh is showing Moses something right now in that fourth chapter of Exodus. You know what I mean? He asked Moses, what's that in your hand, Moses? Moses said, a rod. But Yahweh knew that rod in your hand was the rod that was going to be representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He was going to be the head shepherd to do that. So that rod was very important for Moses to hold on to it. If it get hot and heavy, hold on to the rod, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's big talk. So we'll go back and read a little bit more and see what happens in that fourth chapter of Exodus. Read a little bit more there, young man.
All right, we're picking back up where the hell left off at?
Yeah, pick it back up at, no, back,
I'm back
yeah,
where I was at.
Yeah, back where you was at. You read 4:1.
Yes, sir.
Come back to the hill shortly. I think WCC or dump some of his microphone. I'll find out in a minute.
All right, we're going back to the book of Exodus. And we're going to chapter 4. We pick it up at verse number 4.
Well, pick it up verse 2.
Pick up two. All right.
4:2.
All right, we're going back to Exodus, chapter 4, and we're picking it back up at verse number 2. Verse 2 reads,
uh-huh.
And the Yahweh said it to him,
right.
What is that in your hand?
He said, what's that in your hand, Moses?
And he said, a rod.
Moses was carnal. He was worldly on that. Mm. He got the rod in my hand. Mm. He don't see, I know the responsibility of bringing back the children of Israel to bring them back to their nationality and their culture. But you don't know that, but we do know that. Go ahead and read.
Verse 3. And he said, cast it on the ground.
He said, cast it on the ground. Now, it is representing the 12 tribes of Israel.
And he cast it, the 12 tribes of Israel,
yeah,
on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And the 12 tribes of Israel became a serpent.
And they came what?
A serpent.
Murmurs, backbiters, and complainer to Moses. So he's letting you know, Moses, this staff that you got in your hand, and I'm going to break it down in time to come what it means. That means the 12 tribes of Israel going to be a murmur and a complainer. Now, you get a precept on that. Hey, Mother E, get a precept on that. Let's go to number 14.
Hallelujah.
Let's see. Let's see if we precept that conversation.
Hallelujah.
Let's find out exactly what the children of Israel will come in Moses' ear in the 14th chapter, verse 1 and 2. What is that? Hey, mother. Hey, mother E. What can we read in 14, verse 1 and 2?
A Numbers.
Yes, ma'am. Numbers 14, verse 1 and 2. What can we read?
Okay. The book of Numbers, chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 2. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Verse 2.
Yeah.
And all the children of Israel mourned against Moses.
Murmured.
And against
Aaron. They murmured, Moses. Hey, Mother E, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron. They was in their quarters, in their tent, backbiting, murmuring, and complaining. That was what they were doing, Moses. All the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, were murmuring against Moses and Aaron.
And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, which the Yahweh that we had died in the land of Egypt, of would Yahweh we had died in the wilderness.
You see that? You see, so they was all murmuring, and he was getting Moses prepared that the people you get ready to leave, they're going to be murmurs and complainers. He didn't want you get ready to leave, Moses. But Moses, and something's going to be a snake to you, Moses. But Moses could not do what? Go back to young line. What did Moses do when Yahweh showed him spiritually about the children of Israel? What did Moses do?
Book of Exodus, chapter 4, picking it up, finished up at verse number 3.
Listen to this.
Verse, the bottom part of 3 says, Moses fled from before it, the 12 tribes of Israel.
And Moses broke out running. But what did Joel say in the last 2 lines? Joel chapter 12, young man, 2:7.
Yes, sir.
What do Seer says when it's hot and heavy on you, what's the last thing you're supposed to do? Let's see.
Going over to the book of Joel.
Chapter 2, last 2 lines says what?
Chapter 2.
Yeah, what does it say?
Picking up at verse number 12.
No. I mean, 7, verse 2, 12. The last 2 lines.
The book of Joel.
Chapter 2, verse 7. The last 2 lines.
All right, the book of Joel. Chapter 2, picking up at verse number 7, the last 2 lines.
Yes, sir.
And they shall not break their rank.
See, you cannot break your rank. If you get your feelings hurt and you all of a sudden, you know, you don't break your rank. Because our job is to build you up and see who will be built up when this thing jump off. Because in the 17th chapter of Luke there, young man, what it says in 1, 2, and 3 of Luke? 17, 1, 2, and 3. What it say? 17, 1, 2, and 3.
The book of Luke, chapter 17. We want verse 1. We want verse 2, and we want verse number 3.
This is good.
Luke 17, verse 1, read.
Right.
Then said he unto the disciples,
right,
it is impossible, but that offenses will come.
He said, listen, it's impossible. You're going to have some offensive people around you. He said, there's no way you're going to get around this. Offensive people's going to be around you. Go ahead and read.
But woe unto him.
But woe unto that one that's a backbiter, murmur, complainer. Disaster to that individual. Go ahead.
Through whom they come.
Yes.
him that a millstone were hanged about his neck.
He says, better than you better off taking a 100-pound millstone, stand on the tallest bridge and put a chain through it and put it on your neck and push the ball down. You better off doing that. Glory.
And he cast it into the sea.
Yeah.
Then that he could offend one of these little ones.
And these little ones is the ones that is trying to bring this word to you. Trying to bring, tell you your nationality. Tell you about your culture. How you had your mighty one to give his father a high five when you was doing right. Right now you ain't doing right. See, you're not doing right. And see, the seer's job is to tell you when you're not doing right. You're supposed to run to this thing, not be behind the curtain and be a murmur, a backbiter, and a complainer. That don't work in the eyes of Yahweh. So he's building Moses up. Moses broke out running. Go back and find out what happened next when Moses broke out running. Now, Moses broke out running, but you, now you know how long Moses broke out running. Now, in fact, you see the elder still around. Hey, elder, come on back to where he was on, elder. In that fourth chapter, can you pick it back up in that fourth chapter, Exodus, where he was at there, elder? What does it say in that fourth verse 11? Elder, Mr. Kidd, what does it say? Elder, Mr. Kidd, Israel, what it says in that book of Exodus? Pick it up, young man.
The book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse number 11. Verse 11 reads, and the Yahweh said unto him,
right,
who has made man's mouth?
He said, we know you slow of tongue, you slow of speech. We clear that you got that kind of problem. Go ahead.
Or who make it the dumb?
So who made the dumb?
Or deaf.
Or deaf.
Or the seeing.
Yes.
Or the blind.
Yes.
Have not I the Yahweh?
See, Yahweh is the one that controls any old defect that you have. You give Yahweh all the credit. Whatever kind of defect you have, but you want Yahweh to build you up. See, that's the point. And how you get built of a day is through his word. So now you got to apply his word, then Yahweh is able to build you up. Once you apply this word the way he got it written in this book, you have to know your nationality. You got to rehearse the righteous act, like they did in Numbers chapter 1, 17 through 19. They declared their nationality, and they knew their culture. Now, we're in a situation now, we don't know our nationality. We don't even know our culture. We think we're supposed to be doing one thing, and you're supposed to be doing something else. That's why I say it's no accident we live on Pal Talk, Blog Talk, Facebook, YouTube, and many more to come. And many more. Ain't that right? Our sister, B.S. Judah Israel. So all this is on the table. We got to get in where we fit in and make something happen in Yahweh to get our blessing. That's what we got to do. You want the blessing? The one that gives you the eternal and the everlasting blessing is the Yahweh of Israel. That's the one that made the heaven and earth. That's the one that knocks everybody down onto the knees, but everybody got a purpose. See, everybody got a purpose. Let me show you what we're saying by everybody got a purpose. Hey, Marie, let's run to Judges chapter 3. Let's show you something. See, when things jump off, Mother. In the book of Judges, chapter 3, let's see if we talk about some things, Mother. In the book of Judges, chapter 3, we're going to take a look at something that we need to know. See, top part of the Sabbath day is something we need to know, Mother. And Judges, chapter 3, is something we need to know that we can read. What does it say in 3 verse 1?
Judges chapter 3, verse 1.
Judges chapter 3, verse number 1. What does it say, Mother?
The book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Yahweh left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the walls of Canaan.
So Yahweh left the nation for what reason, that mother? What did Yahweh leave all the nations around Israel for? To do what?
To prove Israel.
To prove Israel.
Yep.
Now back up, mother, and read me 2:22. Read me Judges 2:22.
2:22.
Yeah, prove them. Yeah, read verse 20 and 22. Let's see what it says in Judges chapter 2, verse 20 and 22.
Okay. Judges chapter 2, verse 20 and 22. Verse 20. And the ministering spirit of the Yahweh was not angry.
Yeah. Hold on, mother. And the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel. He was mad. What do you say?
Oh boy.
Verse 20.
Judges chapter 2, verse 20. And the anger of the Yahweh was not against Israel.
It was hot. Hold on, that mother. The anger of Yahweh was hot. Against Israel. It was hot. You know how sometimes back in the day, mother, when you tell that sister yours or your praying, you know you got me real hot now. I'm ready to put hands on you right now. I'm hot enough. I'm ready to put hands on you right now. I'm ready to get out there on the tar road and throw hands a little bit. Yahweh is hot at Israel. Yahweh is ready to throw hands at Israel, mother. Come on.
Okay, I'm going to start all over again. And the anger the anger of the Yahweh was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their father, and have not hearkened unto my voice.
Right there, you see, so what makes Yahweh very angry, mother? Now, he don't change. According to Malachi 3, verse 6, and Hebrews 13, verse 8, now he don't change. So why is Yahweh mad at the children of Israel? All 12 tribes. Why, mother? According to verse 20, why is he mad?
Because they didn't hearken unto his word.
Because they sinned against his covenant. They talk a good game, they would not do his covenant. So now, do you understand Yahweh is not happy with an individual of Israelite descent when you're not keeping the covenant? He is hot against you. He's mad. That's why he's sending this last message that you need. Messenger is called the voices of a true Israelite. The six is on account to let you know all 12 tribes is scattered. Yahweh is not pleased with you. He's hot against you because you're not keeping his covenant. You do not know your nationality and your culture. You do not do it and apply it. So he's sending this ministry to you to build you up, to get back to it, your nationality and the culture that come with it. Be hot against you. Skip down to verse 22. Listen good.
Hold that point, Ma. I need a precept on that. So he hollers at you because he won't keep his covenant. Let's go to Isaiah 56, verse 1, that young man. Let's see what he's saying. Isaiah 56, verse number 1. Listen good.
All right. We're going over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 56. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1.
Yeah, read 1, and I want to expound on 1 before we read some other.
Okay.
I want to expound on some of this. Remember, we are not doing Yahweh of Israel's covenant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not happy with you.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, he's so mad, he's hot mad. Is that what we're reading?
He's
hot against the 12 tribes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you got me hot now. You got, so you know what that means. You get a person all hot. He's ready to do something. Something got to happen.
Hallelujah.
You got me hot now. That's all he's saying. So Yahweh is hot against Israel, all 12 tribes. Now we're going to precept that to Isaiah 56, verse 1. Listen to this.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse number 1.
Listen to this.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse number 1, read. Thus says the Yahweh, keep you judgment and do justice.
Yes.
For my salvation is near to come.
He said his salvation. A lot of people don't know, how we get salvation? We're going to find out. He said, you keep your judgment because my salvation is nearer than you think it is. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. My salvation is near to come.
Yes.
And my righteousness to be revealed.
And my righteousness is to be revealed. So now, he's talking about his salvation. I got to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And his righteousness is to be revealed.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
All right. Verse number 2.
Right.
Blessed is the man that do this.
Blessed is the man that do what he says, his salvation and righteousness is near to come. Now, he can tell you where you get your blessing at right now. Blessed is the man or the woman that do this. Right.
And the son of man that lays hold on it.
And you blessed if you lay hold on this. What?
That keep it the Sabbath.
Wait a minute. Keep the what?
Keep the Sabbath.
You mean the Sabbath day is part of your righteousness and your salvation? Listen, if he came today, do you know the Sabbath day is what's going to activate him? Put you in his righteousness and salvation. It's keeping the Sabbath day. Those that don't keep the Sabbath day, you not line up with his righteousness or his, what is that word? Salvation. Salvation is in the keeping of the Sabbath day. We just find out through Isaiah, you bless when you keep his righteousness and his Sabbath day. Go ahead and read.
Uh-huh. He Sabbath from polluting it.
You don't pollute the Sabbath day. So you know all the backbiters, the murmurs, complainers, all the what they got on those city, he out here on the Sabbath day just running around stealing cars and driving from Indiana to St. Louis and all that. We know you're going to put the knob on this ministry. So you just told us. He asked you to tell us on the answer, see. We're going to put the knob on you. And we're going to see can we get you off track from being so much defense and offense put you on the defense. But then we're not worried about that. We already know you're going to put the knob on this ministry. We know you're going to try to cut down a tree already. But one day we don't. We can tell you now. We don't tell you to keep the Sabbath day, and we'll do it ourselves. We ain't going to tell you nothing that we don't do ourselves. Okay? That's the biggest hypocrite you ever live. You don't keep the Sabbath day, and you tell others to keep the Sabbath day, and you don't do it. Nope. That makes you a big-time hypocrite, and Yahweh will remove you. So if I'm telling you about the Sabbath day because we read, keep the Sabbath day because your salvation and your righteousness ties into you keeping the Sabbath day. So if you're not keeping the Sabbath day, you got your salvation on the line, not in your favor. And your righteousness is online, not in your favor. And according to Judges chapter 2, verse 20, Yahweh is hot against you, Israel. He is hot against you for not doing that. Keep reading, come on, watch this. He talked to Isaiah now. What does he say?
All right. And keep his hand from doing any evil.
See, you keep your hand from doing any evil. So you don't be out there stealing cars, riding around with no driver's license, buying up things because the bank is closed and all that kind of stuff. You don't do stuff like that. He tells you don't put your hand in nothing that's contrary to my word. So you can't talk this unless you learn it. We live what we telling you. On the Sabbath day, we make sure we behind a microphone on the Sabbath day, top part and bottom part. We will tell you something that we won't do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, go ahead and read.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse number 3. Verse 3, read. Neither let the son of the stranger.
And don't let the son of the stranger. Pick up the son of the stranger. You're the one that always will try to figure out some kind of way to put their mouth on you. Because you're doing too much offense. We got to get that 690 camp to do some defense now. Go ahead, read.
That have joined themselves to the Yahweh.
Yes, by being a snake.
Speak, saying, the Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people.
See, you don't let nobody tell you, you do not know your nationality. You do not know your culture. That you separate is a new thing that's going on. Like Paul brought a new thing to the table. Now listen, Paul ain't brought no new thing to the table. You can read Paul, but you twisted Paul's writing. And that was Peter wrote 2 years after he'd both been hung upside down on the cross. Before being hung in the Vatican City, 54 A.D., and Paul is writing a letter in 2 Peter in 66 A.D. Peter talking about Paul. See, it ain't nothing gonna add up when you put the book on it. In 66 A.D., Paul and Peter was around, but they got it as recorded history. Paul and Peter died in 64 A.D. upside down. But no, the voice of the true Israelite put a finger on that lie. 2 years later, Peter was writing about Paul in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. And that's 66 A.D. And they got written that Paul and Peter were killed. Paul had his head cut off and Peter was turned upside down in 64 A.D. See that? That don't work nowhere. See, when you put the book on it. So they will do all they can to get this ministry to be on the defense. Nope. Yahweh says it is. And if they turn up, you turn up some more. Because the lies got to be exposed. And you got to know who you really are. Your nationality and your culture. And you will hear about it. It's up to you to make adjustments once you hear it. Because you got it written. Mother Eve, you got it written in St. John chapter 9. Can you up those say out of verse 40, 41? Look what you got it written, Mother. Hey, Mother Eve, in St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41, can you up those say out? St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and 41 says what?
The book of St. John chapter 9, verse 40 and verse 41. St. John chapter 9, verse 40. And some of the Pharisees, which was with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? 41. Yahweh said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remains.
You see that? The clock starts ticking. Once you say, oh, I know I'm Israel. Okay, I know I'm one of the tribes of Israel, Israelite. You say, you know, oh, I know I'm going to keep Sabbath day, Friday night, Saturday night. And you keep Sunday, 9 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. Guess what? The clock starts ticking on you. Once you say you know that the Bible day is sundown Friday and sundown Saturday, then you turn right around and you're the first one in line for Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Your clock starts ticking on you. And Yahweh is, according to Judges, chapter 2, verse 20, hot against you. Once you say, I know, and you don't do it, guess what? And our job is to make sure you hear. It's up to you to do it. What? What's written in this book? That's all you got to do. Do what's written in this book. Now, mama, come back to Judges chapter 2, verse 22. Judges 2, 22. I know you got a bark in it already. Yeah, you had a bark in it already, so you get ready to flip back. Back to Judges
2:22. Judges chapter 2, verse 22 reads, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Yahweh to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not.
Mm-hmm. You say the other nations, you don't. I got the Catholic Church to prove you right now and the Latter-day Saints. That's what they here for today, to prove you. To see that you look at all the wealth that they have stole from the children of Israel, according to Joel 3, from you. To prove you. And see, you going to be in the Catholic Church in the Latter-day Saints on a wrong day. Or you going to do the Saturday, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. He said, I'm going to let them prove you with all their devices, all their Christianity, and their Lord God and Jesus. I'm going to let them prove you to see what you look at this Bible and see. He's the Yahweh of Israel. He picked the people of Israel to tell his word. Why is I'm a Roman Catholic Church member? Why is I'm a Latter-day Saints member? That ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. That's Babylonian system. That got something to do with Egyptology system. That's where the Roman Catholic Church got it from. They got it from Egypt.
Exactly.
And Egypt got it from the Babylonian system. Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. And all of us worship Saturn there is, and they God called Saturn,
mm-hmm.
And twist your mouth up, Saturn sound like Satan the devil. Mm-hmm. So it all ties in. And you see they lie by the rug, and they steal everything they get their hand on. They took the big obelisk from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
And took them and put it right there in the Vatican City. Then they took another one, took their white out. So you bet you know the teaching is coming from the Babylonian system.
Hallelujah.
All that masonry, Eastern star, all that come from the Babylonian. See? And that's going to be a snare to you, 12 tribes of Israel. Because they're claiming everything, but I'm silencing you by telling you that you Christians, African American Negro, that's not your nationality. That's a religion. That's not your culture. Your culture is keeping the Sabbath day and wearing princess. That's your culture. Huh? And keeping the feast days is written in Leviticus 23. Every last one of them, you got plenty of feast days in Leviticus 23. See, you don't know your nationality.
You don't know your culture. And you got Paul being the teacher of Christianity. He said they got time to deal with it this lesson. But that don't work neither. Not when you shine the thing on it. If you found out to be a liar on one point, you guilty for all your testimony. You got Peter is being hung upside down across in 64 A.D. Paul is writing about, Peter is writing about Paul in 2 Peter 3, 15 through 18. Mm-hmm. 2 years after he's supposed to turn upside down. That don't work no way when you put the book on it. Sooner or later, you run outside of the time. And you have to make a decision. So now, mark in the third chapter of the book of Judges. What do verse 4 say? Now, look what he says in Judges 3, verse 4. Mark. Hey, Marie, Judges chapter 3, verse 4.
Judges chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 4 reads, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandment of Yahweh, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses.
So, the Catholic Church, the Latter-day Saints, the Christian Church is upon the Babylonian system. They is to prove you. They is in the spotlight to prove you. See, is you going to do personality or you going to do the Bible? But understand about y'all is this in verse 20. And Judges 2:20. And the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel. You know why he was hot? According to 3 verse 4, because you don't want to keep his commandments, his laws, and his statutes. You want to follow the Catholic Church and the Latter-day Saints and the Christians. See? But we probably going to read the origin of the word Christian. We're going to read the origin of the word Christian. We're going to talk to you for a minute. I'm going to pass this historical document back to the young man. I'm going to see what he get out of there. It's a surprise to him. I'm going to just pass it to him, and we're going to see what let him read it, and we're going to comment on free from the top, and we'll tell you where you go find all this information at. It's right there for your head. On the top, what it say?
Origin. Okay, it says, Nada, 1857-1884, Ford Dictionary, Oxford English Dictionary.
So Ford Mattis wrote a dictionary in what year?
1857.
And a dictionary is read by the Oxford Dictionary. Everybody talks about it. I graduated from Oxford College. So it had a dictionary. So they got a dictionary there. See, then you go to Oxford Dictionary, but now you go to your computer and pull up this dictionary called Oxford Bible Dictionary, written by Ford Maddox. The name Ford Maddox, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ford Maddox. And what year did you do all that?
18th century.
In 18th century. Okay, good. And now, all your computer whiz, you go pull him up, and let's see what he got in his dictionary for you to know something. What's in his dictionary?
Okay. Origin, late 18th century from French surgeon, from Swiss French, Christine or Christian.
From what again?
From Swiss French.
So, Swiss French.
Christian or Christian.
Christian or Christian. See, here's the point. When you read the word Christian, you read the word from English, but the word really resonated from
Swiss French.
That's where the word resonated from. But here's the point. Now, mother,
The one that wrote that word first had to come from somewhere in the book of St. John, Mother. Let's go to St. John, Mother, and see exactly where, before it became, what again now?
Before it became Christian.
No, with the first word,
Swiss French.
Before it became that. So now we going back and see if French is trying to take credit for something that don't belong to them. We can check them out too. See, we watch the best on Bump.com, even Oxford College. Now, Mother, according to the 19th chapter, what was the language that in the time of Yahweh the Son, what was the language that they spoke? We know when it came out of the Babylonian system, they brought Aramaic come from the Babylonian system. We are clear about that. But the people that was in the land of Israel, what was the language that was spoken as the majority spoke? Because sometimes you go to a place where we got the power, you will learn what the language they got. So we're going to find out the majority language that was spoken in St. John 19, verse 20. Tell me out, Mother, what was the top three languages that were spoken in St. John 19, verse 20?
St. John chapter 19, verse 20. This title then read, many of the Jews, Yahweh Judah, was the place where Yahweh the Son was crucified, was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin.
So the language of the people of the time of Yahweh the Son, what was the three major language, Mother? The three major languages in the time of the crucifixion of Yahweh the Son, what was the dialect they spoke, according to that verse?
Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So that was the top language that was spoken. Now, in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, at the time of this language, there was no such word as Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, Christian, none of that. No such language.
None.
No Jesus Christ, our Lord. That didn't even exist at the time of the crucifixion of Yahweh the Son. It didn't even exist. Let's get a priest up on the mother. We go on to the 23rd chapter of Luke. And look at verse 38. And that great big long word is superstition. Superstition.
23:38.
What is that big old word? And Luke chapter 23, verse 38, what does it say?
The book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 38. Luke 23, verse 38, read. And a subscription also was written.
Yeah, subscription
was written over him, and letters
over him. Uh-huh. Greek
and Latin and Hebrew.
Latin and Hebrew. So stop it there, Mother. So Mother, what was the precept of the language of the time of the one they called our Lord Jesus Christ? What was the language the people were speaking and responding back to? What was the three major languages spoken in the time of the killing of Yahweh the Son? What was the language spoken on?
Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
Hebrew, Latin, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. So they switched it around, but we clear about it. Everything came from Hebrew, which is Semitic. Then the Greeks got a hold to it and came up with another language called Septuagint 294. And Jerome came up with the Latin book in 400 A.D. So 400 A.D. is when the Latin came in. So Latin came, ain't got nothing to say on Greek anything to 400 A.D. 294 A.D. from the Greeks. And it came out of the Hebrew Semitic book from the Strolls all the way back to Adam and Eve. Good. So them three lands. Now we're going to go back to this historical document fact. And let's find on something.
Yeah.
Let's we're going to see what he reads. We don't want to comment on what he reads. Ray, what else you got?
Okay, they have Christian Christians from Latin. Christianus. Here used from Latin Christina, here used to mean human being apparently as a reminder, being apparently as a reminder that.
So he said this word Christian. How they spell the word before it got to English? How was Christian spelled in the Latin, the Greek, and French? How was it spelled?
We have up here, we have C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
That's how the word was first spelled. And that word has a definition to it. It gave a people a name called, that's how you spell Christian from the beginning. That's how they, remember, that's how they spelled the word Christian. But they're going to tell you why they call the people Christians. And remember, it's in Oxford Bible Dictionary, and it's over there in their library. And let me tell you what book to go good look at. Because when you call yourself a Christian, we're going to give you the origin about what this word means. And the young lion going to do the reading, and we just read a little bit more. Let's find out this word. How was it spelled again?
C-R-E. S-T-I-N.
Christian. That's what was first spelled. Christian. Right. Before it became the way you spell it today. Go ahead.
All right. That thought deformed Christian were human and no beast. Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive. A stupid person.
So when they first done the letter 26, mother of Acts, when they first brought this word Christian in, it was a definition to this word, mother. And they tell you what the word really means, and he just reading restore a document fact on what the word Christian really means. How you spell it again?
C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
Now, they're going to tell you what this word means shortly, mother, but I want you to read exactly the way you see it, mother, in 11:26, because somebody is going to be called by this name. Let's find out who. And this is in 42 A.D. 42 A.D., let's find out what's going on. We can read in 11:26. What can we read, mother, in 11:26?
The book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26. Verse 26 reads, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. When they got there on record, mother, it was 42 A.D. So they was called Christians first at Antioch. Antioch was a long way from Jerusalem, city of Judah. So they was called Christians. Now, Now, let's find out why were they called Christians according to Oxford Bible Dictionary by Ford Madoff in the 1800s. And it's in Oxford Bible, it's in the Oxford Bible Dictionary today. Now, you have to pull up Ford Madoff, his book that he wrote, and he will give you the origin of the word Christian. What did he say?
Offensive, a stupid person.
He said they was calling the Israelites that came up to Antioch an ignorant person. So the first definition of the word Christian means you are a ignorant person.
Mm-hmm.
So when you call yourself Christian, you are a ignorant person. Because the one that wrote it says they was called Christian first at Antioch. They was calling them a ignorant person. Let me tell you why. Because all of the other nations, their gods they had was a statue. They had what you call, what a name? They had
Jupiter.
They had Mercury, Jupiter, Zeus. Everything they had a statue to it. Mm-hmm. Their God was a statue. Literally. But when Titus came down and jumped the children of Israel, when he got into the temple, they couldn't find nothing. They couldn't find nothing. So he called them Christian. The reason he called them Christian because he knows. If you got a God, what are your gods at? See, their God was somebody that you can touch and see. Our God, our Yahweh, is somebody you cannot see but through his word, but spiritually. See, we know not to have idols. They were so tied up in the idols, they knew you had some big old idol somewhere in the temple, and they couldn't find none but a seven menorah, a seven light that's on a menorah, and they're taking that. And they call you a Christian there, but the definition of the origin of the word Christian means you are an ignorant person. That's what the first definition of the word Christian, and it's read there in the Oxford Bible Dictionary in the big college is read now by Ford Madoff in the 1800s. And the word was not spelled the way you spell it today. They worked that word into the way you got it today. That ain't the way it was spelled, and it's not the way it was presented to you as a religion. It was presented to you as an ignorant person because you got no mighty ones that we can see. And that's why they thought you were ignorant, because you got no mighty ones that we can see. You remember what Aaron said, and they told Aaron, make us a mighty one to take it back. And he made a golden calf. Because the world always got something for you to see. Yep. But the children of Israel did never have nothing to see. He said, make no graven images. Anything in likeness of him, right? In 20th chapter of Exodus. Now read a little bit more what they got written out of this dictionary called Madoff, Ford Madoff Dictionary of the 1870 something.
1873 to 1939, Ford Madoff.
Right. So Ford Madoff got a dictionary. He wants to author this dictionary, and it's in Oxford today. And they break down the word Christian. Read a bit more.
Used as a general term of abuse.
This word Christian used as a general term as abuse.
A person who is physically deformed.
A person that is physically deformed. So when you are Christian, not knowing the origin of it, you think it's religion. They was calling you physically deformed because you had no mighty ones that they could see. You was worse than somebody that was in a burning bush somewhere and that nobody, all you heard was a boy. See? Because everybody needs you. They had somebody
on Israel, a rain, mighty one. They had a thunder, mighty one. Yep. They had a mighty one for everything in Egypt. That come out of the Babylonian system. You didn't have none of that. See, you're going to show forth his praise. You don't make no statue of anybody. And that's why they call you a Christian, knowing you an ignorant person, because we don't see nobody that you worship. See? Read them up. Watch it now.
All right. It has learning difficulties because of congenital thyroid deficiency.
And you know what a thyroid deficiency, that's like a neck disease. It's like a thyroid. You sometimes people, they call jorts. You know, in a movie called The Max, little short guy, oh, your thyroid can make you be self-pushed home. So they were looking at you as a deformed person called a Christian. Right. Now, this is in the Oxford Bible. It's in right there in that book. So, you got degrees on the wall, and you don't know why, and they'll nail you to the wall and say, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. But you don't need no definition of where it comes from. But guess what we know? Part of the is why. We pull up the record. We digressing the record. You know, we digressing because of how far we behind? Go ahead and read some more about it.
Okay. Thyroid deficiency in the neck.
In the neck.
Okay, we have Cretin. Stupid.
Yes, spell it.
Cretin is spelled C-R-E-T-I-N.
That's another word for Christian. That's another word. They work that word Christian down to the English. Remember, English is the last language on the planet. Mm-hmm. Remember, the three major languages were Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. England didn't come to, even thought about the 449 A.D. It became official language in 1382. So we're talking things that's going on in the land of Jerusalem called Judah in 30, 30, 31, 32, 33 A.D. So they don't know nothing about no Lord God Jesus or English. Nobody had the mind of nothing coming out of English at the time. When John put his pen down in 96 A.D., his story was told. And in 96 A.D. back to 4004, it was no such word as the English Lord, God, Jesus, Allah, Buddha, or Christian, or Jerome. These words did not even exist. These are new words. And so we come to show you that we got the write-ups. And the sources that you know, when you call yourself a Christian, are you in a Christian church? According to Ford Madoff Dictionary at Oxford College, when you read that, you are a ignorant, stupid person, according to his book, because they got the history. You know, everybody say, you, when you graduate, you got to know what's going on. You graduate from Oxford, that's big.
See,
that's high. But they know something that you don't know. Mm-hmm. They know that if you call yourself a Christian, read a little bit more about, read a little bit more. Now, you got to say it, read a little bit more. And it's in that same book, read some more.
Christian, C-R-E-T-I-N, stupid, stability, retarded, stupidity, idiot, original Christ, from the Greek word Christos, Christian, Swiss French, Christian, C-R-E-S-T-I-N, Latin. Christianus. English. Christianus is C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N-U-S. English. Christian. Meaning a stupid person. Retard. Thyroid deficiency. Christian. A stupid person. General term of abuse. Israel. Nationality. Identity. Culture. Attire.
That's it?
That's what we have.
That's it.
So when you call yourself a Christian, when you call yourself a Christian, what is you really saying?
That you are stupid, dumb, mental disability, retarded, stupidity, idiot, thyroid deficiency, and Christian, a stupid person, general term of abuse.
Yeah. Now, where you can find this information at?
We're going to find this in the origin is from Ford Madoff in his dictionary, 1857, 1884, the late 18th century, from French, they have Christian from Swiss French. Then we got Christian, C-R-E-S-T-I-N, Christian, from Latin.
Yeah. See, now, Mother read the book of 69 verse 4 of the book of Psalms. 69 verse 4, Mother. What do 69 verse 4 say? See, that's why it's no accident we on Facebook, we on Pal Talk, don't keep talking.
Blog Talk.
YouTube.
Facebook.
See, the reason we there, because it's time for you to know the truth. It's up to you. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to look up this thing. So when you call yourself a Christian, now you know the origin of it. It wasn't called your religion. Now they have put a spin on it through the Catholic Church to come up with religion. Nope, it's not religion. You got thyroid deficiency. You got that. He called you, that word was given to the children of Israel because they did not have no statue on their mighty one, and they know the world had one. They had everything over there called, Diana of Ephesians, a statue of them, where they made statues and stuff like that. And when they broke into the children of Israel temple, they couldn't line up. They called them a Christian. These stupid people, they ain't got no mighty one. That's what it means. So now you know the definition. And now you know the source to go see, and you can find out. But when you were Christian, you really calling yourself an ignorant person.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they gave it to them. Because these people come up here in Antioch and ain't got no mighty one and bring no statues with them.
Mm.
They ain't brought no statues with them. That's why they knew they were stupid.
Mm.
See, because they didn't have no status with it. See that? But what it says in Leviticus 26 there, young line, Leviticus 26, 1, 2, and 3. What did the Almighty say?
Going over there to the book of Leviticus.
26, 1, 2, and 3.
We're going to read chapter 26. We're going to pick it up at verse number 1, verse
one,
number
2,
and then verse number 3.
Yeah, what it say?
The book of Leviticus 26, verse 1, read.
What?
You should make you no idol.
No idol.
No graven image.
Now, everywhere you go in the Catholic Church, all you see is graven images. And they tell you not to make it. Graven.
Neither were you up a standing image.
Now, you got a standing image of Mary and the baby Jesus and Paul, Peter, everybody, statues everywhere. If you don't watch it, you'll run right over one and make everybody pull a pistol out on you in the place.
Mm-hmm.
Got statues everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, the Bible tell you, don't do it. Because what we done did through the, you know the cross, you ain't know where the cross comes from. That's the Babylonian system.
Mm-hmm.
Look up the history of the cross. Mm-hmm. The cross is coming from the Babylonian system. Descendants of Cush.
Mm-hmm.
Nimrod, Semiramis, Talos, that's where your cross symbol comes from. Mm-hmm. The baby Jesus and Mary, where that come from?
Mm-hmm.
The Babylonian system.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturnarians are worshiping Saturn. Mm-hmm. They mighty one. That's worshiping Satan the devil. Where that come from? And they do it all around the same time. What time is that?
December 25th.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
The Christmas tree, the lights, where it come from, the Babylonian system. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do come from the Babylonian system. Mm-hmm. Even the hall, even guts out the hall mm-hmm. on January the 1st, where that come from, the Babylonian system. The Catholic Church do not have nothing on their own but what they have learned from Egypt, and Egypt learning from the Babylonian system.
Hallelujah.
The books that they read that you have in Judaism, they call them books, called the Talmud books, and all the books are there that come out of the Babylonian system. Mm-hmm. All that is called stolen information up under the Babylonians. You got it? So we can go on and on, but let's go back. Let's go back now and start tying in a few things. See, you never know what y'all are going to bring to the table. But now we're going to go back and show you that we, and they love to say they follow Paul. But watch this. We're going on to chapter 9. And we're going to pick up verse 1, young man. Let's show you. See, we can go at everybody's teaching. And all that you can do with the voice of the truth is why they backbite, murmur, and complain. We can show you everybody's teaching is out of order.
Hallelujah.
And be on the airway 6 nights a week. It ain't a lesson we put on the table that can be disputed, but it can be, they can be backbited. But for our go on the book and prove us wrong, we waiting on the first one to do so.
Hallelujah.
Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Listen to this right now. Listen to this right here. And let's find out what Paul religion that he was to do. Acts chapter 1, 1 down to verse 5. Watch this. 9, 1 to 5.
The book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Verse 1 read. And Saul, yet breathing out, threatening and slaughtering against the disciples of Yahuwah, went unto the high priest. Verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the temple, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Yahdah Jews.
If he found any of the way that was contrary to the way he was taught. But, hey, Mother, what did Paul say about his teaching? In 1 Timothy 1:13, what Paul say? What did Paul say, Mama? 1 Timothy 1:13. What did Paul say?
Okay. Yeah.
What did Paul say?
1 Timothy 1:13.
Yeah. 1:13.
1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and endure what I obtained mercy because I did it ignorant in unbelief.
Paul said, before I came to the mouth of truth, because I thought I was doing something, I was a blasphemer. I done things contrary, but I done it in ignorance. I thought I knew. And that was wrong with a lot of people today. They gonna hold on to the Roman Catholic Church and Latter-day Saints all to the end. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. You're gonna go down with them because that's bad teaching. All the teachings the Catholic Church ever learned, they learned it out of Egypt. And you know you learn out of Egypt. Look at that in the middle of Vatican City. A great big omelet. All over this. I hope I'm saying it right. I might get more calls on that. That big old thing that sit up in there. Mm-hmm. Obelisk. Yeah. Where did they get it from? They got it from the Egyptians. That's the Egyptians. Why did they get it from the Egyptians? Why did they got some themselves from the mighty one? No. They went over and took it and brought it over there. Same thing they did over there in Washington, D.C. They went on and taking it up, pulled it up, and transported it all the way back and put it right back down in the right place. because that's their culture. It comes out of Egyptology, the Babylonian system. All the books that you read about the, when you trace it back, the Jewish peoples, the books they read, all that come out of the Babylonian system. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. So they don't understand that what's going on today. So we just can tell you like it is. That it's up to you to make a change. You got to know your nationality. You got to know your culture. You are a member of the 12 tribes of Israel. He gave you a mandate on something not to do. And what can we read that at in number 15, 15, and 16? Look what he told you not to do. And right now you don't know your nationality and you don't know your culture. And you call yourself a Christian, and the definition in the Oxford Bible Dictionary by Ford Madoff saying you are an ignorant, deficient person. That is the origin of the word Christian, and it was spelled the way you got it spelled now. How was it spelled from the beginning? The word Christian spelled.
The word Christian spelled C-H-R, oh, C. The word from the beginning, it was spelled C-R-E-T-I-N.
Spell it again.
C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
Spell it again.
C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
Now take that word and run it back. And you'll find out the definition of that word means that you're stupid and an ignorant person. Take that word, and that word wraps itself all the way down to C-H-I-S-T, L-I-N, Christian. They work that word down to Christian to put a religion to it. Because you don't have your history. You don't know your nationality. Look up the word, and you tell voices of a true Israelite. Now, remember, it's written in Ford Madoff Dictionary in Oxford, Greg Bick College. They know the biblical definition of the name Christian. Why you don't know it with the degrees you got on the wall. When you are Christian, you are a stupid, ignorant person, and you're retarded. Is that what he said, Neil?
That's what the word means.
Oh, read that what he said.
All right. The word offensive. A stupid person, used as a general term of abuse. A person who is physically deformed and has learning difficulties because of congenital thyroid deficiency, the neck.
What about a prick? Yeah.
Christian.
I need some
All right. Stupid. Dumb. Mental. Disability, retarded, stupidity, idiot, Christian, C-R-E-I-N.
Christian. Now, that's written Ford Madoff Dictionary, Oxford College. That's what they, see, they know, but why don't they tell you? Huh? But our job is to tell you, it's up to you to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All your computer weird, just go ahead and pull up the word, spell the word Christian again.
The word
first originated.
The Latin form of Christian is Christian. C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
Now, look that word up and see what you come up with. See what you come up with, the definition at Oxford College, what the word really means. It's not talking about a religion. You was called that because you came to Antioch and you didn't bring no statues with you. You brought some books with you. They want to know where's your Mithra? Where's your Diana of Ephesians at? They want to know where your statues at. Where your mighty one at? You're a stupid person. Even when Titus broke down Jerusalem temple, they was going to look for where their mighty ones at. It ain't none. Boy, these is Christians then. You know what he's called you? These is ignorant persons because they got nothing to go in front of them. You know what people told Aaron? Make us mighty ones to go before you. And they made a golden calf. You got to have something in the eyes of the world. But see, Yahweh told the children of Israel, you are my balance. You the one who brings his word. But that's the key right there, his word. So now you know what the Christian means. Now, we get back to Paul for a minute. What about Paul again now in Acts chapter 9? Okay, yeah, I want to read what Paul said, yeah.
Okay. Going back to the book of Acts chapter 9, picking it back up at verse number 1. Verse 1 reads, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of Yahweh, went unto the high priest, verse 2, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the temple, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Yahdajudah. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Verse 4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why prosecutest you me?
Why persecute me?
Persecute.
Yeah, why persecute me, Saul? Go ahead.
Verse 5, and he said, who are you, Yahweh?
He said, who are you, Yahweh?
And Yahweh said, I am Yahweh the Son, whom you persecute.
Now, listen good.
It is hard for you to kick against the prick.
He said, Paul, you cannot kick against his word. Oh, Paul, go ahead.
Verse 6.
Listen.
And he trembling.
What Paul do?
Trembling.
Right.
And astonished.
Right.
Said, Yahweh.
Yahweh.
What will you have me to do?
Ain't that something? What do you have me to do? See, right then and there, see, right there, after he had beat him up real good. Now, Yahweh, what you want me to do? I thought I was doing right. So Paul now asking the question, what do you want me to do? So y'all got Paul as the Christian and the king, man. No. Paul is asking the question, what do you want me to do? See that? Here's right there. What do you want me to do? Now, that's real good. Now Mother E. Now, you hear that, Mother E. Now, Paul want to know what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what he says, Mother. Give me a couple of verses of what he says. Pick it up at verse number 7 to 9 and a closing statement, Mother. Give me 7.
The same book.
In the closing statement. Yes, ma'am. Acts chapter 9, 7 down, 7 down to verse 9. What happened? Acts chapter
9,
verse 7, 8, and 9.
Acts chapter 9, verses 7 to 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 7. And the man which journeyed with him stood speaking, hearing a voice to speak, but seeing no man. Verse 8.
Right.
And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. Verse 9. And he was there, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink.
All right, see, we'll break that down in 3 days without sight another time. We'll break that down because everything have a double meaning to it, Mother E. That's why he let them know ain't nobody outgrows this ministry. It's just your puffed up spirit got you looking out the window. You ain't outgrows this ministry. Because this ministry have no ending to it on information when the spirit right to receive it. Marie, I'm to the bottom of the seven. Eyeball to eyeball, close to face, take a time there, mother. What you got to say behind what you just got through hearing? Come on.
Okay. Thank you and praising Yahweh for the class. And thanking and praising Yahweh for the teachers. And just thank Yahweh. And I'm going to read, okay, I want to read something. I think it's the first chapter of Psalms. And chapter one. And this is, I want to read this. For the listener, and it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Yahweh, and in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he do shall prosper. Okay, I read from 1 to 3. And I was said to the class to be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. That is, you know, that it cannot be moved. Because if you like that tree, you whatever you do, it's going to prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Hey, Mother Z, you got a comment you want to put behind what you heard? As we close out the top of the day, Mother Z, we know you heard a whole lot of good stuff. Is there any kind of comment you want to make on what you heard about the ones that call themselves a Christian? We just pull up some old documentary facts and find out when they were called Christian. They wasn't calling them nothing, no good thing. They was calling them an ignorant, stupid person that is written in Boris Madoff's 1870 dictionary at Oxford College today. Mother Z, what you got to say? You on the clock, come on, Mother.
You ain't on, see ya.
All right. Well, hey, we'll get to the bottom part. Hallelujah. Well,
Now,
Mother D.F. Israel, you want to make a comment on anything you heard tonight, Mother D.F. Israel? Mother D.F. Israel, another one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Do you got anything you want to say as we get ready to close out the top part of Saturday, Mother? Mother D.F. Israel,
you want to talk to Mother? Well, I want to say, Yahweh, bless you, Seer Israel, Seeroth. And I want to say that my granddaughter, she was listening to the part about Christians. So she was saying, he said calling you stupid. I said, he giving you the definition of a Christian. You know, people like to call themselves Christian, and that he reading off the definition of a Christian. You know, everybody always know quick to say that they Christian and don't know the meaning of it. You know, so that's some good information.
Hallelujah.
Well, you got a copy sitting ready. Read your table, and then we gave all the definition on how to peep at it. As a matter of fact, young lion, going to read it one more time, how you find out this information one more time. You know, what we do when we read, coming out of Ford Madoff Dictionary at Oxford College. They saying where this word came from. They say it's in their book. And we reading out of their book. Now, we know that the Christians gonna raise up the head because they don't have the knowledge. But we do have the knowledge, and we read what's coming out of Ford Madoff Dictionary at Oxford College today. What is that, young man? Go ahead.
Okay, Ford Madoff. Reading by Ford Madoff Dictionary, come from Oxford English Dictionary in 1857, 1884. Late 18th century from French, has Christian from Swiss French. Then they have Christian, C-R-E-S-T-I-N, is Christian from Latin. Christianus. Here used from Latin Christianus. Here used to mean human, being apparently as a reminder, that thought deformed. Christian, C-R-E-T-I-N-S, where human and not beast. Word is offensive, a stupid person. Used as a general term of abuse. Born Maddox, 1873 to 1939. A person who is physically deformed and has learning difficulties because of congenital thyroid deficiency. The next, Christian, C-R-E-S-T-I-N, stupid, dumb, mental disability, retarded, stupidity, idiot, thyroid deficiency. Original Christ from the Greek word Christos. We have it comes from, we have one word that comes from Christian, C-R-E-T-I-N, which is the Swiss French. And then we have Christian, C-R-E-S-T-I-N, Latin. Once again, it means stupid, dumb, mental disability, retarded, stupidity, and idiot, thyroid deficiency in the neck.
Now, D.F. Israel. What do it say in Galatians chapter, what is that verse in Galatians? It make a statement in Galatians. I don't want to quote it out, Mother. Can you help me out? You remember Mother D.F. Israel? There's a verse in Galatians says, you know, because we, I paraphrase, because we tell you the truth. Are we become your enemy because we tell you the truth? See, that's what's going on. Do we become your enemy because we tell you the truth? This is Galatians. Let me read that verse. See, what we're telling you, and that's no accident, we on Facebook, we on YouTube, Blog Talk, Hell Talk, everywhere. Now, in Galatians, it says, help me out there, y'all. I haven't seen my find the verse.
I'm trying to
understand. Who would be called your enemy because we tell you the truth? Now, so we tell you where you can go on your computer and pull up Maddox, Ford Madoff Dictionary at Oxford College. Pull it up on your computer and read the original spelling of the word Christian. What's the original spelling of the word Christian again? So again,
the original spelling of the word Christian. It is C-R-E-S-T-I-N.
C-R-E what?
S-T-I-N.
S-T-I-N. Look that word up, grandbaby. Look the word up, grandbaby. Before you all of a sudden say he's saying one thing, go on that telephone and look up the word and the original meaning of the word Christian. And you're going to say, nah, nah, nah. Then we might see you at class real soon.
416.
What is that? 416. Hey, mother. Hey, mother. D.F. Israel, can you read Galatians 416 for those men?
Yeah, Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?
You see that? So what we're doing is telling you where to go and look up an original word called Christian. They've done the research. They got it in their book, but they will not tell you nothing. We is trying to tell you what this book is saying. And we try to give you 69 verse 4. Read that more than this. We'll close out and get back to the young mind and close out. Bye. Read Psalm 69 verse 4, Mother. Yeah, Israel. 69 verse 4.
Psalm 69 verse 4. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemy wrongfully, are mighty than I. Restore that which I took not away.
See, we try to restore back to you your nationality and your culture. We didn't take it away from you. We try to restore back the information that you need to help you from not ending up running in that lake of fire, according to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. We try to restore you, come back to your nationality and your culture. And your nationality and culture understood when he was called Christian, they was calling you an ignorant person, stupid, because you had no statue to where they could take. And you looked down and bowed down to. You had the words. So in their mind, you were stupid. And that is the origin of the word Christian. Over to the young line for the final everything. It's on you, young line.
All right. All right, Mother G.F. Israel, did you have anything you want to close out with?
Yeah, I'm gonna read that Psalm 69 verses 22 and 23. It says, "Let their tables become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap." 23. "Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake." Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua.
Hallelujah,
Qua.
Hallelujah, Qua. Hallelujah, Qua. All right. That's the top part of the Sabbath day. We're gonna close out since the mothers have got their clothes in there. I guess we just go ahead, Brother Matthias, go ahead and read some here too. Let me drop some on out right behind your mother. Now, let me see. We will go over to the some I want to read out. I wrote it down. Didn't get away. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 12. We'll read verse 1 down to 5. We're going to pick it back up at the bottom part of the Sabbath day. But in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1 down to 5, reads, "These are the statutes and judgments which you should observe to do in the land which the Yahuwah of your fathers giving you to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. 2, you should utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which you shall possess serve their Yahuwah upon the high mountains and upon the hills and under every green tree. Verse 3, and you shall overthrow their altars of the mine and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And you shall hew down the grave images of their Yahuwah and destroy the name of them out of that place. Verse 4, you shall not do so unto the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. Verse 5, but unto the place which the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, should choose out of all your tribes to put his habitation shall you seek, and there you shall come. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
All right. Prayer. And we'll say to the YHWH man, Yahweh. Yahweh. Thank you, Yahweh, for allowing us to come together on this top part of the Sabbath day. Thank you for blessing us, oh Yahweh, blessing our fair Israel, Steve Royce, to continue to protect him, giving him the knowledge that you give him to teach your 12 tribes of Israel, Yahweh. God, with your warrior seed, tribe Yada. Thank you, continue to be with our elders, bless our elder Yada, continue to strengthen his body, continue to bless our elder Mr. Chairs and all the elders in the 6th and Northern Camp, Elder Josiah and all of them, oh Yahweh. We continue to pray for our mother, Mother D.F. Israel, Mother D. and Mother E., and she continue to bless them as well and strengthen their body.